Welcome to the Ridge Community Church podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to hit the subscribe button and find us online at theridgecc.com. At our website, you can catch up with everything that's happening at The Ridge, watch previous messages, and learn more about who we are. If you want to watch services live, you can catch them every Sunday via our online community at live.theridgecc.com. We hope this message inspires you to take the next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
All right. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. So glad to be with you. Kick off the new year. And hey, I want to say a special Happy New Year to all you who are joining us online and to our wonderful Oak Creek Franklin campus. And obviously, of course, to all you who are joining us here in Greenfield as well. Now, quick show of hands. How many of you made some sort of New Year's resolution? Just be honest. How many of you? All right, a lot of you have. Okay, honesty, how many of you are still going strong with your New Year's resolution? Okay, that's really good. Well, I hope that you will make it, whatever it is. But let me just say this. I hope as we move into 2024 that you will make God a priority for you this year. Because we believe that we can't be the best version of ourselves unless we step into the vision that the one who made us has for us. And so if you consider yourself a Jesus follower, I hope you'll take some steps this year that will help you do just that. And then if you're new to Jesus and kind of just checking things out, as I said, if you were here for Christmas Eve, you just give us to Easter, which is less than 90 days away, and just see what God does. Now, next week, we are actually kicking off a brand new series called I've Got Issues. Now, show of hands, once again, how many of you would say you have issues? How many of you have issues? Okay, and I know what you're thinking, some of you. You're thinking, I do have issues, and they're sitting next to me. Or they're at home right now, or they're at school, or you know, they're a relative, whatever it may be. And here's why. Because it is so easy for us to see everyone else's issues. But we think the best way to kick off the new year is to not look at everyone else's issues, but to start with I. And so next week, we are going to begin with an issue that I'm telling you, if you get your arms around this one, it will guarantee you the best year you have ever had. You come back next week, invite a friend to come back with you as well. Now, to kick off 2024, I want to share with you a very special message that has been honestly years in the making. And I say special because this message is going to set the course for us as a church over the next almost decade. Now, before I tell you what that is and talk more about that is, I kind of want to lay the groundwork for you on that by just throwing out this question for you. What do you think of when you think of the church? If you were to ask me this question when I was growing up, I would have said, oh, that's easy. I think of torture. And the reason why I thought of torture is because every Sunday I'd have to get dressed up and, you know, I didn't like even getting dressed up as a kid. I don't like it now. This is like the equivalent of a tuxedo for me, okay? That's how I don't like being dressed up. And then you would sit in these wooden pews. At least the church that I attended had these wooden pews. And I was like, who thought that these were a good idea, you know, as far as just sitting through something? And then every service was pretty much the same thing. And they have a little variety here and there, but it was pretty much the standard service. And for me, it was by far the longest hour of the week. And maybe for you, you had a similar experience to me when it came to church. Or for you, when you think of church, you think of guilt. Or you think of a place that wants your money, or you think of a place where hypocrites gather, or you, when you think of church, you might think of a place you go to when you don't have anything better to do. But I think for most of us, when we think about the idea of the church, we think church is a place we go to. I mean, think about some of the things that we say. We'll say things like this. We'll say, well, you know, I'm going to church today, or I don't go to church anymore. What's interesting is if we would have said that to Jesus, if we would have said, Jesus, you know, I go to church, I don't go to church, Jesus would go, what? I don't understand what you mean. You see, Jesus didn't design the church to be a place that we go to, but a movement that we're a part of. That when we understand this and give our lives to it, lives and communities are meant to be transformed. And so what I want to do today is I want to read to you what I think is the best passage that describes what the church is designed to be. And the reason why this is important is because I think we all know it's important to use something in its intended purpose or what it was designed to be. You know, it'd be kind of like if I took this iPad and I decided to use it as a hammer. Well, guess what? It would get very frustrating because it wouldn't work. And not only that, but we would also miss out on just the incredible things that that iPad was designed for. I think for many of us, we're frustrated with church, or there's a disconnect when it comes to church because we see it as something that it was never designed to be for, and we're missing out on actually the blessings and the benefits of what it was designed to be for. Now, the passage that I'm going to read is found in the New Testament. It's found in the book of Acts, which is my favorite book in the entire Bible. It's about the early church. And it's about opening day. And on opening day, 3,000 people made a decision to follow Jesus in a culture, in a context that they had every reason not to. But when God is at work, these are the type of things that happen. Now, let me just say this. I hope that as I read this passage to you, that there is something that stirs inside of you that goes, why do we settle for anything less than this? And if you're not a Jesus follower, I hope there's a part of you that's stirred that goes, man, if church was that, I'd be a part of something like that. So here we're going to read from Acts chapter 2. Here's what Luke says. Luke says this. He says, they devoted themselves. And devoted just means priority. It means we pick this over other stuff. And it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, which was Jesus' teachings, and to fellowship, and I'm going to come back to that word in a minute, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And we're going to talk more about that near the end of the message. But this idea of fellowship just meant this, real community, deep community, that they gathered in small groups, and there was a freedom in those groups for people to say, I don't believe this. Hey, I'm struggling here. I'm mad at God. I'm struggling with sin. I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And there was a freedom to do that because there was a community of people that were fighting for them because they were truly for them. And so there was a people there where they could struggle and fail, but this community of people, they would not let them fall. You know, community, we don't think about this, but a big part of us growing in our faith and experiencing God is to be in this type of community because this is how God made us to be. And then Luke continues and he says this. He says, everyone was filled with awe. And then idea of awe is like, wow, incredible, awesome. It's kind of like this wonder and excitement sort of mix. I was trying to think about it as like the first time that I became a dad. It was like this, wow, excitement, wonder, all mixed in one. And for them, this had to do with God. Like God was moving and they were like, oh God, that's incredible. That is awesome. Wow. And it says, everyone was filled with this at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And so in other words, God was doing such amazing things. He was even doing the supernatural. That marriages that were heading for divorce, they were restored. Prodigals, they were turning to God. Addicts were set free. And even the supernatural, that people that were sick with certain illnesses and diseases, even they were healed. You know, for some of us, we read that and we go, ooh, man, Mark, that sounds kind of weird. I don't agree with that. I read that and go, ha, I think that sounds kind of awesome. I mean, that's how the church was supposed to be and is supposed to be. And then he continues and he says, all the believers were together and had everything in common, to which we read and we go, oh yeah, okay, they agreed on everything. And so it was very tribal back then, very much like it is today. Actually, this means that they didn't agree on everything, that they had major differences, but there was unity despite all the differences and diversity. And here's how they were able to do that. You see, for them, they were able to understand that the most important thing that guided everything that they did was the gospel. Now, if you don't know what the gospel is, here's what the gospel is. The gospel means good news, and here's what it is. Jesus came, and he lived the life we were supposed to live. And then he died the death that we were condemned to die. He substituted himself for you and for me, so to satisfy the penalty that our sins deserve, so we could be in a restored relationship with God. And when we get our arms around this, here's what that means. Every single one of us is on a level playing field. In other words, every person we look at, whether we agree or don't agree, vote differently, all that stuff, every single one of us is someone that Jesus died for. And so when the gospel is the most important thing, the differences, which are very real, they aren't that important anymore. And then Luke says, and it even gets better, he says, well, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And so there's this outbreak of radical generosity that they began to sell extras. People began to downsize. They're like, hey, I have the second home. I'm going to sell that second home or third car because I don't need that third car. And then I'm going to give that all away. Now, in our culture, we hear that. We go, ooh, that's going a little bit overboard, isn't it? But here's the thing. A heart that truly understands what God through Christ has done for them, it just overflows with gratitude and generosity. I want you to think of it this way. I want you to imagine that you come home one day and there's a friend waiting for you on your front porch. And this friend says, oh, hey, I just want to let you know that a creditor just came by and they wanted to collect the debt that you owed them immediately. And so I just paid it for you. Now, how would you respond to that friend? Well, it all depends on the debt, right? I mean, if the debt was, well, you just didn't pay some postage on an envelope, whatever, you'd be like, hey, thanks, dude, you know, I'll take you out to McDonald's. I'm not going to take you out somewhere expensive because it's only a stamp, you know, but I'll take you out to lunch for that. Thank you very much. But if it was an IRS agent and they were there to collect $1 million in back taxes that you owed, and if you didn't have it right there that you were going to jail, and this person paid that right there, how would you respond to that person? You would say, wow, and you'd be so filled with gratitude because of what they did, and then generosity because they were generous with you. He'd be like, whatever you want. The more we realize the debt that we owe God, the more generous we will be to give to him and his kingdom. And why were they so generous like this? It's because this idea was front and center for them. So it just compelled them to be even more generous. And then it says, every day they continued, there's the devotion thing again, they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and then they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And then I love this, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And when they're talking about people, they're not talking about just church people, they're talking about all people. I want to show you a picture of something. And this picture right here was actually posted on the Oak Creek Franklin Joint School District Facebook page and their newsletter. And what this post says is it's thanking the Ridge Community Church for providing hundreds of coats and shoes for kids in need in their entire school district. And then attached to this is our Live Big Reveal video where we revealed the amount. If you were here on Christmas Eve, you saw what that is. I want you to think about this for a minute. A Milwaukee County Public School District posting about a church. When we love like Jesus, this is the kind of stuff that happens. In other words, all the cultural stuff that we get clogged up in and said, this that can't happen, this can't happen, this can't happen, that stuff doesn't matter anymore. This is what favor looks like. And then Luke closes and he gives us the outcome of things. In other words, he says, hey, here's what God's going to do if you stay committed or devoted to the things that we just read about earlier. And he says this, he says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And saved just means those who were separated from God are now restored to him. And I want you to notice he says daily. In other words, not just at a church service on a Thursday night or a Sunday morning, but it's like, hey, on Monday, we had some neighbors over for dinner and they don't follow Jesus. And we've been kind of walking with them on their faith journey, but man, the conversation just broke out. And he made a decision to follow Jesus right there. Or you should have seen my Friday night. Wow, it was incredible. And it says, the Lord added, in other words, this was the outcome for them as they grew in their faith. This is what God did. So church for them, meaning everything that they did, was to help one another become like Jesus. And to become like Jesus meant they engaged in all the practices like generosity and prayer and deep community, all that stuff, was to help one another become like Jesus so people could find Jesus. Because that's what Jesus did. Now, let me ask you, go back to the question. When you think of church, is this what you think of? Is this what you're experiencing? I want to put back up the Acts 2:47 passage for a minute. And I just want to read it to you. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. That verse is a very special verse for us as a church, because this verse is our vision verse as a church. What does that mean? It means this. When people come to me and they go, hey, Mark, what do you want God to do at the Ridge? I always say, I want God to get us to a place where all week, lives are being changed. Why? Because this is what the church was designed to be. This verse actually inspired our what we call our vision statement. And we say it all the time around here. And here's our vision statement: to bring the hope of Jesus into every home. We say it all the time. And every word in that statement just carries some weight for us. The idea of bring. We don't expect people to come to us. We go to them because God goes to them, and he's already at work in their lives. To bring the hope, this idea of hope. This is why I love football, and you should love football, because at the beginning of every football season, it's like every fan, no matter what the team, it has hope. It's like, man, this year's going to be the year. This year's going to be the year. I mean, it doesn't even matter. We have Bear fans on our staff, okay? We have Bear fans on our staff. And it's like every year, they're like, man, we're going to be so much better this year. You know, we're going to do so well this year. And I'm always like, dude, did you know that you had the number one draft pick last year? You know, that means that's the worst team gets the number one draft pick. You know, I know, you know, but we're gonna be so much better. And just for the record, I'm rooting for them, okay, this week. But anyways, you know, it's just like every, I have hope. I'm putting my hope in the wrong thing, I know. But it's just like, you know, it's like we are hope seekers. I think of a Bear fan and I go, it's like every January, I hope it's not going to be cold. But it always is, you know? But we're hope seekers. We all long for hope. It's like every new year, man, we just have a hope for a new year. But unfortunately, we're living in a time where there is so much hopelessness. But it's to bring the hope. Not any hope, but the hope of Jesus. Because we believe, because of who Jesus is and what he is able to do, that he is the only true hope in this world. But we're going to bring Jesus into every home. The home is like the headquarters of our lives. And here's what we know. When Jesus is Lord of a home, families flourish no matter the makeup of the family. Now, the reason why I share all this with you is because I want to bring you up to speed on some things that have been going on behind the scenes for the last few years. You see, before COVID hit, our leadership team had been meeting for months, and we have been dreaming and praying about what God would want to do in our church for the next 5 or 10 years. But then in the middle of that, this little thing called COVID hit, and it hit the pause button on all that. And like many organizations, we kicked into a different mode, and part of that mode is we kicked into survival mode. But here's the problem when any organization, including ours, kicks into survival mode. This mindset begins to creep in that thinks short-term and small. And we got to this place, it was about 18 months ago, where I went back to our leadership team and I said, listen, we're done with short-term and small. Our community is falling apart, and there's so many needs in our community that our community needs us to think large and long-term. And so we started praying and dreaming again. And as a part of that process, I took some time away, and I asked God this question. What God-sized goal are you calling us to dream about? Because it's your dream. What are you specifically calling us as a church to do so that Acts 2:47 is happening in our church? And during that time, I was challenged with something that I want to actually share with you that I hope that you'll take with you and that you'll use as you kind of kick off this new year. But to show you what that is, I want to ask Vanna White to come. Thank you, Vanna. All right. If you were here for Christmas Eve, back by popular demand, okay? Back by popular demand. The drawing is going to happen. It's going to continue to happen. Okay. I was challenged with something that I call the faith circle. I think it has a different name to it, okay? But here's what the faith circle is. For most of us, we live inside this circle. And this circle represents decisions we make, choices that we choose to live. And the decisions that we make are really motivated by safety and comfort. I mean, we may move closer to the edge of this. We may move closer and we challenge ourselves to do things and all that stuff. But the reality is, it doesn't really require that much faith. If it doesn't work out, we're still in control. If it doesn't work out, there's consequences to it. But if the reality is, we'll recover, we'll be okay. If God doesn't show up, it's okay, it'll still happen. But outside of this circle represents what God is capable of doing through you and through us if we're willing to reject safety and comfort and step out here. Out here is, if God truly doesn't show up, I don't know how this is going to work out, because only God can do this. Now, here's the thing. Everyone's outside of the circle is different because everybody is different. But the reality is, and the challenge is, for you and for me and for us, we need to find out exactly and wrestle with God to find out exactly what this is for our lives. Because out here, this is where we find the sweet spot of God. You know, this is where we pray differently because we have to. This is where we're motivated to grow because we have to. This is where, hey, if God doesn't show up, it just truly doesn't work out. This is where, when you're kind of walking with God, you get to this place and you're like, am I nuts? Am I crazy for doing this? And people are looking at you and they're going, you know, what are you doing? And you're kind of crazy and all that stuff. And maybe I am and all stuff. And that's because, you know, you're truly walking out here. And if God doesn't show up, it ain't going to work out for you. You see, for all of us, we need to find out, where and what is this spot for us? And so as a church, we began to wrestle with that. Where is exactly this spot for us as a church? Well, we did this for a couple months, and we wrestled with this for a couple months. And I am actually here to share with you what we believe that answer is for us as a church. And the answer for us as a church is what we are calling our vision goal over this next season. And here's what our vision goal is. Our vision goal is to help 5,000 people find Jesus by the end of 2030. To help 5,000 people. Now, let me give you a little reference point for this number, 5,000. A good year for us, and a good year for a healthy church, a really healthy church, is about 100 to 200 people a year. And we're going, nope, God, we believe that you want to do something greater. And we believe that greater is 5,000 for us. Now, let me just kind of break this down a bit. To help, people help people find Jesus. Those are the best stories, is that just people helping people find Jesus. And we talk about 5,000. This 5,000, I want you to personalize this a bit, because this 5,000, this is your son or daughter. This is your neighbor. This is your coworker. This is that crazy uncle you're like, you know, this is your boss. This is that person at the gym. To help 5,000 people find Jesus. Why is the find Jesus so important? Because this is what Jesus came to do. This is what the early church experienced as a byproduct of them growing in their faith. And so when we look at this, this is not something we're doing for God. This is something we're doing with God. Now, let me tell you where we got this number, because we just didn't randomly go, okay, and we kind of, you know, threw an X out there and all that stuff. Let me tell you where we got this. We looked at our in-person attendance, and we said, what if over the next decade, Acts 2:47 was actually happening in our church? How many people would be added to our number daily? And here's what the number was. It was approximately 5,000. Plus 5,000, what that does is that actually lessens the unchurched percentage of unchurched people in our community by 0.5%. Now, that doesn't sound like a whole lot, but here's the thing. If that were to happen in our community, we believe that that would be the beginning of spiritual renewal for our community. So we just think this is a really, really big deal, that number. Now, let me tell you what this number is not. This number and this goal is not about building the Ridge Community Church kingdom. This isn't about how can we grow our church by 5,000 people, not at all. What this goal is about, it is truly about people. For the last couple months, my wife and I, we visit a certain establishment almost every Friday, and it's date time for us, but it's also, we just connect with the people there and getting to know people there. And most of them, you know, go to church or far from God and all that stuff. Well, there's this couple that we've gotten to know really well, and they are far from God, want nothing to do with church, and we're just starting, as the relationship's developing, we're just starting to see God do some things in their life and all that stuff. And I think about this, and if they came to me and said, hey, Mark, hey, we're ready to follow Jesus. We don't want to go to the Ridge, but we have this other great church that we're a part of. I would say, okay, that's great. You know why? Because this isn't about building the Ridge kingdom. This is about building God's kingdom. And so as we move forward and as we talk more about what that looks like, if they go to another great church or they go to a new church we start or not, hey, that's fine with us because it's all about the building of God's kingdom right here in this community. Now, a question that you might have is, how are we gonna do that? How are we gonna pull this one off? And you just need to know that we didn't go, oh, you know, we want to help 5,000 people and we're just kind of hoping it happens and that we hope that that happens and all that stuff. I wish that that was the way it worked, but that's not the way it works. We actually have a very intentional plan moving forward into this next season that is going to completely transform how we do things around here in a very good way. But as a part of this message, due to time, I don't have time to get in all the details about it, but I do want to talk to you more about it. And so if you want to know more about some of these details, moving forward as a church, I want to invite you. I'm going to host two Zoom calls, and I want to invite you to take part in one of the two Zoom calls. And I'll talk more. Jody's going to be with me. We're going to talk more about some of these specifics moving forward and answer questions that you might have about this moving forward, all that good stuff. And here's the thing. Some of this stuff, we have no clue how we're going to pull some of this stuff off. And here's the beautiful thing. That's what living out here is all about. And those are the prayers, and that's the tension that we're going to live with over the next season. But we know that God is at work and is going to do something to provide those things. Now, here's the most important question, I think. Why does this matter? Why does this matter? Let me share with you what I believe are some sobering statistics that are going on right in this great community that we live in. And I've shared some of these before, but here's what we're seeing. 1 in 2 marriages don't make it. The suicide rate, especially among kids and students, continues to skyrocket. Addiction rates and all sorts of addictions continue to go up. Nearly 40% of people in our community are dealing with some sort of mental health issue. And research is starting to come out to back that up now, that 20%, almost 20% of that is preventable. You see, families are falling apart. Kids and students are struggling. I haven't talked to anybody in years that says, man, things are getting so much better out there. I've never talked to someone who has said that. But what's cool is in the midst of all that, Jesus said these beautiful words. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's not the beautiful words, by the way. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I would think as we look at what's going on in our world and the community right now, the thief is doing a very good job of things. But here is the beautiful words. Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Some translations translate that as abundant life. Can you imagine a person that takes their car to the manufacturer and says, you know what, I'm done doing it your way. I'm going to do it my way now. You say put gas in the car, I'm going to put water in the car instead. Now, if that person did that, what would happen to that car? That car would break down. And you know what? That's exactly what is happening all around us. You know, this is why what God is calling us to do, helping people find Jesus, We believe it's the only solution that's going to change the tide of things in our community, because God's plan all along has been to get to people so they can experience life with Him, our very best life. I want to share with you a great story of Jordan and Mariah. Jordan and Mariah, they attend church here, great young couple. Mariah follows Jesus, and Jordan, he's not really sure where he is with Jesus, but he's attending here, and I want you to hear their story.
My name is Mariah. I have been coming to the Ridge for about a year and a half.
My name is Jordan Stewart, and I've been coming to the Ridge for about a year now.
We've been married for 6 years, and we've been together for 11 years, and we have two kids. We have a little boy who is going to be a year, and then Lexi, our girl, is 3.
I grew up in the Catholic Church. My whole family kind of embraces that religion, and it was good. I learned a lot of what it means to have like proper morals and how to treat one another, and I have nothing against the Catholic Church. Just for me, it always seemed a little bit different as a kid. I kind of felt like I was always going through the motions.
I was raised in a non-denominational church. My mom taught me how to pray and read the Bible, and I had a relationship-based religion experience. So to me, the foundation was set at a really young age.
I definitely had a change in like how I viewed religion as I got older, right around my senior year of high school. I thought, being like, kind of the ignorant 18, 19 year old, I can learn more from reading history and like getting certain like do's and don'ts from that versus going to the Catholic Church. And then when I started studying even more in college, I just saw all the wrongs of the historical aspects of faith that like kind of turned me away from it for a little bit, kind of navigating through it. I do thank my wife and the fact that right around the time we were gonna get married, she took me to a church downtown, and downtown Milwaukee, that is. And it was my first time coming back to church in a few years. And I just appreciated that the pastor over there did a great job of connecting historical aspects of the Bible to what was going on in the city of Milwaukee. So for me, when it came to religion, it was like, this guy's doing a great job of connecting what was going on back then to what's going on now. And I think that's what made me start to say, all right, well, let's go a week here, a week there, and kind of see where it goes from there. When we came back to the downtown church and at the Ridge, I'm always looking at the community aspect of it. Is everybody in here gonna leave here and practice what they preached inside the church, or are they gonna leave it at the door, right? And I think that this church and the church we were downtown at did kind of a good job of like making sure that you don't get to just come here for an hour and then leave, right? So the biggest obstacle for me, I think, is having kindness for people who don't deserve it, right? And sometimes when this gets spoke about in service, it's one of those things where you're thinking of that exact person or that exact group of people, and you're saying, but why would I have to do that? Like, how is that making my situation better? And I think navigating that space can be difficult for certain people. And it's especially difficult for me because, I have people that I really do care about, and it just seems like their compassion is not nearly where mine is at. And so navigating that space is a challenge. The Ridge has a way of kind of growing on you in that way. I remember the first time she brought me in here, I was like, whoa, where's the church, right? And she's like, it's not a Catholic church. You're not gonna see the Virgin Mary everywhere and things like that. I'm like, I remember walking in just saying, this is gonna be too much. This is gonna be too much. I thought right away it was great, and I think the biggest thing that helped me get on the Ridge side of things was probably my fourth or fifth time coming was you guys had a baptism service, and those are always really powerful services. So it was one of those things where I had to look at it as those people aren't up there getting baptized to care what everybody else thinks, right? Like, they're getting baptized for them. And that goes back to my conversation I would have with my mom when I first stopped going to the Catholic Church. I would say I just don't get along with those people in there. I don't think I need to be there like that. I don't see the community aspect. You guys keep on preaching it and nothing changes. And she said, you don't need to be going up there for what everybody else is getting out of it. It's what you get out of it. I see what she means now, that you got to kind of, what are you getting out of service, right? Like, what are you taking away? And I think that helps help somebody like myself who may look at some of the negative aspects of the church and say like, oh, you know, this, that, and the other. And it's like, yeah, but are you walking away feeling that? Or are you imposing that on the church, right? So
to sit in church with him and to have conversations about the message or talk to Lexi about what she learned in Ridge Kids, it's like, it's life-changing for me. It's life-giving for me because I know that you came authentically, and I know that you also sacrificed some of your preconceived notions because you knew it was the right thing to do.
Man, I love that that Jordan just felt the freedom to just kind of say, man, here's where I am, and I'm not there yet. And I think it's just sacred stuff when we just know, because I know there's a lot more Jordans that watch and attend one of our campuses, and we're watching their story. It's not done yet, but it is being written right in front of us. It is such sacred stuff. And I don't know about you, I look at Jordan's story, and it just reminds me of my own story, because there was a time that I wasn't there and I was sitting in the crowd. And I am forever grateful that I was attending a church that was so committed to people like me, because it's forever changed the trajectory of my life, my marriage, my kids' life. And you know what? The same thing, I believe, is going to happen in Jordan's life as well. So here's what I want us to do as we just kind of launch into this next season as a church. Here's the most important thing that we can do. And Tyler talked about it, Forrest talked about it, and John's talked about it. And here's what it is. I want everybody to participate in 21 days of prayer and fasting. And this isn't just something our church is doing. Hundreds of thousands of Jesus followers around the world are doing the very same thing. And so we are doing the very same thing with them. And what's cool about it is each week the focus is something else, but we're gonna kick off the year and we're gonna commit ourselves to God and commit this to God. Because only God can do this. You know, for many of us, we want God to work in our life, but what we don't do is we don't put any effort into him working in our life. We have to be willing to put the effort to move towards him in this process. This is what this is gonna do. So here's how you sign up. My prayer is that we would get 600 of us at least that take part in this whole thing. And I believe the more that do, the more that God will do. And so I want to encourage you to sign up. We're going to jump in. We're going to do this together. We're going to be grumpy together because we're going to be fasting. Okay, so we're going to be the grumpiest church over the next 3 weeks. Now, let me just wrap it up with this. And I don't speak this way that often to our church, but I'm going to speak this way. I'm going to speak prophetically into our church a minute. As I look at our church and I look at culture and see what's going on in culture, while there's so much hopelessness going on, I truly believe that God is up to something big on a granular level. You see, I think people are sick and tired of the hype machine, the image management stuff. I think they're sick and tired of polls and anger and tribalism, and they are hungry for something real and authentic and transcendent. And here's what else I know. Throughout history, God has always used messy and broken people to accomplish great things. And as I look at our church, starting with me, we're all messy and broken. So you know what? We qualify. We could be that group of people that God uses. And so I believe that if we are willing to step up and step in to what God has for us, we're gonna see something very special that God has for us. Because what God has for us, he has for those outside of us. It's the very same thing, because that's what the church was designed to be. And there's nothing better than that. Let me pray for us. Father, as we just kind of kick things off of this new year, And we just, for many of us, for the very first time, just kind of hearing about this, just kind of like, whoa, what is all this? And what does this mean? And all that stuff. God, may you just begin to open up our heart and let this begin to sink into our soul. That you are doing something. You are doing something in your church, not just our church, okay, but in your church. You are doing something, you're stirring and you're moving, and you're looking for people that go, I want to be a part of that. I want to follow where you're going there, because you love people, and the brokenness and the hurt and the pain hurts you more than anything. But for some reason, you choose people. You choose people like us. And so, Father, as we kick off 2024, we just want to set aside the next couple weeks, and we want to commit ourselves to you. And we just want you to do something in our hearts. Stir us, move us, draw us, challenge us. God, I think even about the faith circle, you know, it might be over the next 3 weeks that you may really just go, stop living in the circle. I'm outside the circle. God, for others of us, there may be some sin issues in our life, and you just go, be done with that. Be done with that. I've got better for you. God, I think there may be some, just like we just read, there may be some marriages that are going to be reconciled. There's going to be some prodigals that come running back to you. God, maybe there's going to even be some people that are set free. But most of all, God, most of all, we know that with all the brokenness and hurt and pain in our community here and outside of here, only you, only you, only you. That strategies and stuff like that just aren't doing it. It's just getting worse. But God, you're up to something. So God, we commit these next couple weeks to you, because we commit this next season to you, because we are trusting and believing you for greater things. And we are not gonna settle for anything less than your best. We give you ourselves, God. Thank you that we get to do this together. Thank you that the church is a team, a community of people. And we get to follow you, and we get to struggle with you, and we get to also do that with each other. Thank you for it, God. And may whatever we do be pleasing to you and in your sight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Ridge Community Church's podcast. If you live in Southeast Wisconsin, we'd love to host you at one of our weekend services. For directions, service times, and more about our kids and students' environments, visit us at theridgecc.com. That's theridgecc.com.